Now it's CSL, Charlotte Sports Live.
Right now on Charlotte Sports Live, it's been a year in the making, but redemption never felt so sweet for the South Carolina Gamecocks. A perfect season completed with a national championship, and they had to earn it against college basketball's greatest scorer of all time.
And the Charlotte Kid does it once again. It took overtime, but William Byron brings home that cherished grandfather clock on a memorable day for Hendrick Motorsports.
And welcome into Charlotte Sports Live. I'm Grace Grill. He's Gabe McDonald. And at least we got to see one Carolina team earn a national championship.
Yeah, it was certainly a great moment for the state of South Carolina, the Gamecocks, and college basketball as a whole. Also tonight, NASCAR tackles the paperclip in Martinsville. And it was a big day in baseball as well. But Grace, you mentioned the national championship. So why don't you kick us off with those highlights today from the game.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the ratings on this one. Caitlin Clark playing in her final college basketball game. Her and her Hawkeyes taking on undefeated South Carolina in the national championship, and there she is. College basketball's all-time leading scorer drains it from the logo. Jason Sudeikis loves it. Clark had 18 of her game-high 30 points in the first quarter. We go to the second quarter. Gamecocks closed the gap, only down three. Camila Cardoso says, down three, girl, please. That was part of an 11-0 run for South Carolina, and we've got a tied game. Final seconds of the first half, Caitlin Clark wants the final shot, but Raven Johnson says, yeah, I'll take that. And South Carolina would take a three-point lead at the half. So now we move to the third quarter. Off the pick and roll, it's Chloe Kitts with a strong move inside of the bucket. Double-double for Kitts today with 11 points and 10 rebounds. That put South Carolina up 5. Later in the third, Gamecocks off the miss. Tessa Johnson spots up from deep, and she buries that one. Johnson led the Gamecocks with 19 points. South Carolina with 11-point lead. Although Hootie, Darius Rucker, doesn't seem too comfortable with that. Here's why. Fourth quarter, Sydney Alfalter collects the loose ball and she'll score it, plus the foul. So Iowa cuts the lead to 5 after that made free throw. And just like Hootie sang, we're gonna have to let her cry, but they are tears of joy. Dawn Staley and the South Carolina Gamecocks complete a perfect season with a national title, 87-75 over Caitlin Clark and Iowa. Dawn Staley becomes the 5th head coach in women's college, in all of women's college history, to have 3 national championships. But after winning it all, she didn't forget the one person who single-handedly changed the sport this season.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
After last year, I was kind of like, well, how do we top doing what we did last year? And somehow, some way, every single person in our locker room believed, and to be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost 2 players that were 3-year starters for our program, and to be back in this position and come out here and battle, I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do.
Very classy comments from both of them. I mean, obviously, Dawn Staley, just the GOAT. But yeah. I love her comments because it was. Like, this was the first national title game for women's college basketball that I can remember where I had uncles, I had my brother, I had my cousin, my guy cousins that are talking about how they cannot wait to see this matchup and just follow this entire run. And it was cool to see the appreciation because you do. Like Dawn said, you hope that this continues because South Carolina has been dominant for going on years now. I think maybe this brought a little bit more spotlight to, like, oh, wait, they're undefeated? Hold up. We're here to watch Caitlin, but wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, because, I mean, when we were coming up, I mean, you're always used to seeing Tennessee and UConn, but now you're seeing a lot more parity in the sport. You're seeing a lot more teams, you know, being just deeper, having a lot of girls that can really play on this team. But Caitlin Clark, incredible performance today, but I think South Carolina does some more complete team. Having girls step up, Tessa Johnson, nearly 20 points. Chloe Kitts, a big double-double. I think just having those guys, especially with a really young team as well, they aren't going anywhere. Of course, you want to see a lot of other stars and a lot of other teams continue this run, but it's really been special just to see how much the sport has grown. All these different teams making runs, teams like even NC State doing what they did, but South Carolina today just proving that even though they lost a lot of stars from last year to the WNBA, about five players from that team going to the first round, they just rebuild, reload every year. And here's what they do. You got an undefeated championship season, a very perfect season, of course, but a special one as well.
I ran into our Brian Blakely at the Knights game earlier, and he asked me. Him and his son Wes were at the game, and they were getting home to watch this game, and I just thought that alone was so cool. And he goes, who you got tonight? And I said, oh, man, I'm cheering for Caitlin Clark in Iowa, but I just didn't know about South Carolina. He goes, yeah, they're just a better team. I said, they're all better teams. Right. That's what's been so amazing about watching Caitlin and Iowa is because
– who they've gone through. Just beating UConn the other day. Yeah,
They are not. Competitive, they were competitive, but they were not as good as a South Carolina and a UConn, and they beat them. So just really, really awesome for college
WNBA
basketball.
Draft coming up next week. She will be the number one overall pick, so it's going to be cool to see her and Aaliyah Boston from South Carolina team up at the next level. Well, the women's champion has been crowned, and now we have just one college hoops game left, and that is the men's final with a pair of number one seeds going head-to-head in Phoenix. Top overall seed UConn will meet Purdue tomorrow night for all the marbles. The Huskies are looking to win back-to-back titles, while the Boilermakers are going for their first. Both teams averaging over 80 points per game this season, and they each have seven-footers, as Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon are set for a heavyweight battle down there in the post. And these squads have without question been the most dominant through the big dance, and now will have a true battle of strength on strength in the championship game.
They're such a classy program. Their culture is as good as anyone. They're as well coached as anyone. You could see they had an attitude about them going into this tournament throughout the season.
Those guys are really good at pressure, and Stephen Castle, on down the line, when they sub, they're good. Like, all those guys can pressure, take care of the basketball, make good decisions, run what we've called, and stick with that.
So I think the big thing when you look at this matchup tomorrow, of course, those two tall guys down there, because that's what we really have talked about all throughout the tournament. It was likely going to be, and when it comes to college, you got to have that size. Both these two teams have that, and I think that's obviously why they're here. But they can also really shoot the three pretty well. When you look at these teams, when they're not able to get it inside to either Klingon or Edey, they're able to find those guys outside. And I think that's going to be the big thing tomorrow. Who's able to take advantage of the perimeter and hit those outside shots? Because whoever has that with a good mix of the inside game will definitely have the better chance to win for sure.
Also, now I always bring up this point because it's, the saying in basketball is, okay, well, championships are offense sells tickets, defense wins games. And I think you got to flush that in March because it's who can score the basketball. And that's what I was looking forward to, the Alabama UConn game, because both of those teams can score the basketball. And so you were really like, all right, well, who's going to play better defense? I don't think that Purdue has the same offense as Alabama. To see UConn be able to do that against that team, I think we maybe flip back to that. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. Yeah. You said it, the inside game is going to be huge, but also just the way that this tournament has played out, I think you have the two best teams playing for the title, and that's exciting.
And you look at the last time that a 1-seed lost to a 16, Virginia did it, came back and won the national title. Purdue last year, so now one game away from hoisting that trophy out in the desert.
All right, well, let's go to the pros. Second to last game of the season this evening for your Charlotte Hornets, hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it was a reunion of sorts. Four Thunder players traded to the Hornets at the trade deadline in February, and the Hornets started this game in the exact opposite fashion of their previous one against Orlando. Charlotte falls behind 10-2 on this Josh Giddey lay-in. Giddey's former teammate Vasily Micic here showing range late in the first quarter. A pull-up 27-footer rattles in. Charlotte down 2-1. Hey, there's a familiar face. It's Panthers quarterback Bryce Young in the house for this one, sitting courtside. He got to see plenty of offense, maybe something he can take to the Carolina locker room. Anyway, second quarter, great ball movement by the Hornets leads to the Davis Bertans 3. He finished with 12 against his former team. Let's go to the third. Okay, maybe the play of the night for Buzz
Look
City.
Look at my guy.
Kukoszewski.
Look at my guy.
With a one-handed poster, 14 points for him. In fact, every Hornets player was in double figures this evening. Fourth quarter, Hornets down 3 with under 5 seconds to go. Brandon Miller had a chance to send this game to overtime, but his shot is off, and Charlotte falls 121-118 in a heartbreaker.
I mean, offensively, we played really well, except for the turnovers. I mean, we've been playing better and better. A big part of it, frankly, is playing smaller. We're five out. When we have Grant out there at the five, we're a totally different offensive team. It's just like, what we haven't been able to do. Again, these teams are really good.
One way to spend a Sunday. The Hornets have off tomorrow and then host Dallas in the home finale Tuesday night. Gabe?
From the hardwood here in Charlotte to the halfway mile track just across the border. Second straight NASCAR race in Virginia with the Cup Series running in Martinsville this afternoon. This marked Cup Series race number 151 in the track's rich history. Gorgeous day in Southern Virginia for some racing. Hendrick Motorsports celebrating its 40th anniversary today with the Ruby paint schemes. Hendrick driver Kyle Larson led the field to green this afternoon. And once stage one wrapped up, it would be the number five still out in front. Larson takes the first stage of the Cookout 400. It's his first career stage win. The paperclip. Late in stage two now, Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin in a battle coming out of turn one. Hamlin able to make the pass on the inside hanging to the back stretch, so Denny would end up taking that stage to give him seven stage wins at Martinsville, the most of any active driver. Moving to stage three now, Hamlin still in front with just over 100 laps to go. We see William Byron starting the green flag pit cycle in 2014 with a great stop, and that would make a huge difference. Case in point, right here with 75 to go, Byron crossing the start-finish line, passing Daniel Suarez for the lead. The Charlotte native is the third different Hendrick driver to have a lead today. Byron so close to finishing the job with three laps to go, but we see a yellow flag. John Hunter Nemechek's brakes catch on fire, which results in a caution and another race going into overtime. Two to go after the OT restart. Teammates Byron and Chase Elliott battling for the lead. The 9 and 24 tight around turn three, but Byron is able to stay out in front and take the checkered flag. Charlotte's own William Byron on a tear to start this season. It's his third win of 2024 and the second in the last three races. Truly a special day for the entire Hendrick family.
You just can't script it any better. First, I just want to say hi to Mr. and Mrs. Hendrick. I know how bummed they were not to be here, but how excited they are that all of our folks are here to be able to see this happen. I mean, you can't script it like this.
So proud of everyone at Hendrick Motorsports. Grew up a big Hendrick fan, and to be here for the 40th anniversary and all that goes into just this organization, all the people, it's all about the people. And just want to thank Mr. Hendrick and Linda and everyone involved.
Here, Jeff Gordon and William Byron there. It is truly a great day for the entire Hendrick family as they celebrate their 40th anniversary. Hendrick Motorsports is now the first team to ever have three drivers finish 1, 2, and 3 at Martinsville Speedway.
What a day for them. Well, the Arizona Diamondbacks may be the reigning National League pennant winners, but when it comes to the Battle of the A, they were second to the Braves this weekend. They were bringing out the Brubs in the battery. That's next.
And it's a new season for the Charlotte Knights and a new start for a top prospect, Chicago White Sox. We're talking to Colson Montgomery just ahead on CSN.
And Charlotte FC continued its road woes this weekend, allowing New England to get its first win of the season. We'll show you how that happened just ahead.
You're watching Charlotte Sports Live. We'll be right back.
Well, the Braves were looking for a Sunday sweep of the Diamondbacks. Chris Sale making his home debut, and he was dealing early in this one. Ketel Marte goes down swinging, then Gino Suarez. They allowed two earned runs in 5 1/3 with 6 strikeouts today. Matt Olson in the bottom of the second, waiting on the delivery from Ryan Nelson. And that's number 3 of the season for Matt Olson. It's a solo shot to right, and that would make it 1-0 Braves. Top of the fourth, Christian Walker for the D-backs. It's a line drive for an RBI single, and this game is tied at 2. Now, we've seen some thrillers this weekend, but today the Braves, they took care of business. How about Michael Harris? He's done some damage over the weekend. He'll take Nelson deep to right center field. Austin Riley would add a 2-run shot in the 8th. And the Braves win it 5-2 today to sweep the Diamondbacks. And from Truist Park to Truist Field, where the Knights were closing out their first home stand of the season, Norfolk has outscored the Knights 69-39 over the first 5 games of the series. But Knights were tied in the bottom of the 7th thanks to that Colson Montgomery single. How about Chucky Robinson? What a name that is, huh? Into pinch hit. That's a broken bat. That gets through to right field. Zach Remillard in to score. And the Knights have the lead. And they still have it. In the bottom of the 8th, this is Danny Mendick. Deep to left, and that ball is gone. It's a 3-run blast for Danny Mendick. And the Knights get their first home win of the season, 6-2 over the Norfolk Tides. They now head on the road to play 6 in Jacksonville. Well, staying with the Knights, the White Sox have big plans for a number of their players down here in Charlotte this season.
Yeah, but probably none more so than Colson Montgomery, the top prospect in the system. I got with our own Julian Sidor earlier this week.
Here with Colson Montgomery, number one prospect for the Chicago White Sox. You've been here for about 2 days in Charlotte. What's your impression?
I love it here already. I've gotten a little taste of it. I mean, I went to some restaurants here and things like that, so it's really cool. But the skyline here is awesome. The ballpark's beautiful.
So, obviously, got back from spring training. How'd you feel down there? Jur said the game for you seems like it doesn't come too fast, but what were your impressions out there on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I thought I did pretty good. I did the best that I can with all the opportunities I got, but I'm excited for the season. I would say I did pretty good in spring training, things like that. With the game coming slow, I think that just is my background with playing a lot of sports. So just being thrown in there with different sports and things like that kind of helped me slow the game down.
Obviously, the dream for everybody is to get that call that you're going to the majors. Have you thought about what that's going to be like?
I'm normal. I'm a human. So, yeah, I think like that and everything. But, I mean, you just kind of try have to be where your feet are with a lot of things and control what you can control. And that's kind of what we preach here with a lot of things. So whenever that time comes, it'll be awesome.
Earned the nickname Big Smooth. How do you feel about that?
I like it. So I've never had a nickname in my life. No one's ever called me anything. So once Marcus came up with that nickname, I was like, all right, I'll stick with it. It's a pretty good nickname. I like it.
What would you say is smooth about your game?
Not being cocky or arrogant, but everything. I would say everything is pretty smooth. Just I don't know. It's just things come easier for me. I'm fortunate. I was blessed with some abilities, so I mean, I would just say a lot of things just come really easy to me, and I can pick up things really easy.
You're also a pretty good basketball player. Actually, you recruited to play ball.
Yeah.
Pretty good hooper there.
Yeah.
Are you a better hooper or baseball player?
I mean, I was told I'm a better baseball player than I was hooper. So
what do you think?
I thought I was a better basketball player than I was, but look where I'm at now, so I guess everything works out in the end.
Talk to me about the pressure being the number one prospect in the organization, mm-hmm. top 10 in the MLB. How's that feel?
I mean, I'm not going to say that's not overwhelming and a little pressure because everywhere you go, everybody knows that. So I would say there's some pressure there, but at the same time, like I talked about earlier, just kind of control what you can control. And there's always going to be outside noise, so you just got to try and limit that as much as you can and just go out and play the game that you love to play, especially when you're a little kid, you know, and just have fun.
All right, good stuff there, Julian. Thank you. Well, Colson Montgomery's not the only highly touted prospect the Knights have on the field this season. Look at that fellow. We'll tell you about another one coming up next.
Oh, and the road woes continue for Charlotte FC. We'll recap their loss in New England coming up next here on Charlotte Sports Live.
Back on CSL, last night was a prime opportunity for Charlotte FC to get back in the win column. However, they came up short against New England. Charlotte had a handful of good chances throughout the match, but ended up falling 1-0 to give the Revolution their first win of the season. It was a match where possession and shots on goal were even. However, the Crown just simply couldn't take advantage. For 7 matches, Charlotte is still in search of their first road win of the season. Charlotte head coach Dean Smith felt this was a match that his club simply gave away.
I felt the better team lost. And if you don't take your chances that come around, then that can happen. Disappointing with the goal we gave away. And we never showed enough quality in the penalty box. We've had chances, but didn't take them. And we've had big moments and haven't taken them. You know, feels almost criminal that we got beat, to be honest.
After a quick trip north, Charlotte will be back at the bank for 2 straight weeks. Next match coming up this Saturday against Toronto. And I think just Dean Smith said it simply there, didn't take advantage of the opportunities ahead. You saw that first miss there. You got to be able to hit on those. This is a team that really hasn't been that aggressive in the attack, especially in their matches, and that's what makes it a big difference. I mean, New England had a -7 goal differential coming into this match. They were 0-1-4. This is one of those matches, if you want to get over that hump as a team, you have to win these, especially on the road.
You know why this one hurts? Is our egos hurt after this one, after the comments that New England Revolution manager Caleb Porter made before this match even started, where his team doesn't even have a win. Okay, Charlotte's looking for their first road win. Yeah. His team didn't even have a win, and he said before the match that he promised them this win. So that's why this just irritates you a little bit more that they lost. But, I mean, I'm not concerned with Charlotte FC like I was last year with this team, because you look at their goal scorers. They've scored 6 goals already this season, all by different guys. So they're spreading it around. They're not reliant on just that one scorer. We need somebody to make it happen. They can do it. It's just, like you said, about taking advantage of those opportunities and finishing games, which finishing has been a problem with them in the past.
And something else that will help, having Leo Lobata, obviously, just made his way here. So having him come into the lineup is definitely going to be big. And being back at home, I mean, 2 straight weeks is another good opportunity to get some of that early season momentum. You even got a match coming up on Sunday after next. So I think having these matches at home coming up is going to be big.
Well, and guys in and out of the lineup, too. Sure. Like, they were out Capetti, and then Scott Arfield getting back in with the swing, and you mentioned Lobata.
So still trying to gel too early in the year. So
yeah, I'm not panicking yet. I think they'll be all right. All right, well, the Knights held their first Bark in the Park of the season Thursday at Truist Field, and Charlotte took it a step further. Of course, dogs are allowed in the stadium, but one in particular has found its way onto the field, and not by mistake. The Knights unveiled their new bat dog named, ironically, Dog. Yes, Dog is the name of the dog. He was a stray puppy that head trainer Kelly Daniel found, and as most adoption stories go, Daniel didn't intend on getting attached.
So Kelly, my head instructor, actually found Dog dumped at a dog park, and she rescued him. At the time, she wasn't interested in having another dog. She already had Oi, she was content, and her goal was to keep him until she found someone for him. And she named him Dog because she didn't want to get too attached. What you're going to see today is they have an amazing relationship, and she decided to keep him.
Shout out to the dogs, and Dan Morgan would probably like that name. All right, Carolina basketball standouts Vince Carter and Walter Davis were named to the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, their class of 2024. The Hall of Fame announced the class Saturday at the Final Four out in Phoenix. Now, Carter and Davis are the 9th and 10th individuals in the Hall who played college basketball for the legendary Dean Smith. And other coaches has more former players elected to the Naismith Hall of Fame. And Vince Carter said it was Coach Smith's impact that allowed him to have longevity in the NBA.
Coach Smith in North Carolina definitely set the tone for me to play 22 years because I understood the game of basketball. I understood how to be a great listener and take the nuances of the game and work at it.
Well, he's already been named ACC Player of the Year and First Team All-American. Now UNC guard RJ Davis has picked up the Jerry West Award, given annually to the best shooting guard in the country. He's the first Tar Heel to win the award. Davis led the ACC in scoring this season with 784 points. That's fourth most all-time by a Tar Heel in a single season. He still has a year of eligibility remaining, but no decisions has been made public yet.
Something we'll be following closely. Well, up next, we look back at the big Panthers news from this past week, including the signing of this guy, star defensive tackle Derrick Brown. We debate if the contract extension was justified for the big guy in the middle.
And let the search begin again. The Hornets will need a new head coach next season, and they already have a few names in mind to replace Steve Clifford. We'll discuss what kind of coach this team needs to take in the next step forward. Keep it here. We've got more CSL coming your way.
Back here on CSL, the star of the Panthers' defense from last season is staying right here in Carolina. The Panthers announced this past week they've extended and locked in defensive tackle Derrick Brown with a four-year extension worth $96 million, with $63 million of that in guaranteed money. It makes him one of the top five defensive tackles to sign a big payday within the last year. Brown was a 7th overall pick in the 2020 draft and was entering his final year of his rookie deal. And then he had one of his best seasons in 2023, which landed him in the Pro Bowl for the first time in his career. Brown set the league record for tackles by defensive tackle with 103 in 2023. And even during a rough season for the team last year, Brown remained optimistic, and now he's said to be a big part of the future of the franchise.
Keep going, man. It'll turn. It'll turn. You never know when. You know, you climb in a mountain, you know, they say, you know, when you get to the top, you finally see what's on the other side. So, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to get to the top and, you know, see something brewing for 2024.
And that's always a mindset that you want to have, and really what he brought to this team each and every week. Despite being 2-15, he came out there and was balling, making a big difference each and every week. Now, I know a lot of people want to talk about his, you know, lack of sacks. I know that everybody, the sacks, that's like the sexy stat now, but he is still one of the most dominant defensive tackles, and he proved that last year. Just coming from where he was early in his career, a guy who kind of, he was a top pick, didn't really live up to that potential at first, and now he's truly blossoming into one of the greats. It's definitely good to see him get this big payday for sure.
Well, and that just proves my next point. You know what I like about Derrick Brown is that he is a pro. And yep. What I mean by that is not only what he is able to accomplished on the field, 103 tackles last season, an NFL record in a single season by a defensive lineman. Just jot that down. But also the fact that, like you said, 2-15, and there have been so many times where we'd get into our post-game shows, and, you know, we're looking for that post-game interview. We know these guys don't want to talk. They just got demolished, and he would come over, he would answer our questions respectfully. He's frustrated, we knew that, but he gave us the time of day, gave good answers, and represented Carolina, their fan base, and the team well. And I think you're seeing that get rewarded as well, because there's more to being a pro, in my opinion, than
just what you do on the field.
Exactly, and he embodies that. And also him and his wife, I think they have two kids, if I'm not, two little ones, and they do a lot in the community. I mean, I've been out to some of the events that they do, with around the Christmas time and stuff. So, you know, you hate to see guys like, you know, everyone was sad to see Bradley Bozeman leave.
Yeah.
He is that type of guy, and I'm super excited for him to be here in Carolina.
Definitely well deserved for sure.
All right, well, we got more Panthers news from last week. Laviska Shenault, remember him?
Yeah.
He's now a Seattle Seahawk. The former second round pick for the Jags spent the past two seasons here in Carolina, where he was used sparingly in the Panthers offense through multiple coaching regimes. He was actually used largely as a kick returner, just 37 receptions for 322 yards and a touchdown and a 41-yard rushing score for Shenault during his time with the Panthers. So hopefully he can find more success with Brian Grubb in Seattle. All right, well, just over 24 hours after the Hornets made the announcement that Steve Clifford is choosing to step down this past week, they've already requested permission to interview several assistants for their head coaching vacancy. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Hornets have asked Denver's David Adelman, Sacramento's Jordy Fernandez, Boston's Charles Lee, and Phoenix's Kevin Young. And more names are expected to be added to this list to replace Steve Clifford after the season.
Yeah, but before we talk about the candidates that are popping up, let's pop over to our Mike Lissette for more on the early favorites.
The last time the Charlotte Hornets needed to find a new head coach, they reached back into their past to find their man. Now, 2 years later, they're on the lookout again. But this time, it appears the job will go to someone with no previous ties to the franchise.
Obviously, someone who can hold the players accountable, relate to the players, and get the best out of them.
Now, there's plenty of people more than qualified for the position. Questions are, would they be the right fit for Charlotte? And would Charlotte be willing to spend top dollar to get them? If the Hornets are, then former Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer would be an interesting candidate.
Play fast, play random, play together, play in great space. Let's go play some basketball, have some fun.
Budenholzer is a former NBA champion who definitely knows how to get the most out of his players. However, unless the price is right from the Hornets front office, he might not be willing to commit to a rebuild.
Gabe, Rick, and I are completely aligned from that standpoint of it's going to be a thorough search.
More than likely, it'll be an up-and-comer who takes the position. And if that happens, a person you should know about is Heat top assistant Chris Quinn, who's worked in Miami for almost a decade, studying under coach Eric Spoelstra and team president Pat Riley.
Well, we have to do things with a motor. We have to do things with detail.
At age 40, Quinn is looking for his first NBA head coaching position, as is another candidate, Boston's Charles Lee. Considered by some to be the frontrunner for the position, reports say the Hornets have already secured permission from Boston for an interview. They've allegedly also done the same with Phoenix assistant Kevin Young, as well as Sacramento's Jordy Fernandez, who doubles as the head man for the Canadian Olympic team.
I'm really excited to talk to some new candidates that I don't have, I would say, as extensive history with, because, again, you can just learn so much.
It figures then to be an enlightening couple of weeks. As VP of Basketball Operations Jeff Peterson knows, he and the rest of the front office have to get this right. Mike Lissette, Charlotte Sports Live.
Appreciate it, Mike. So, of course, we're at this point yet again for the second time in about 2 years now. Of course, we had the fiasco with Kenny Atkinson coming in and pulling out, and then you get Steve Clifford back. Now, new ownership, new president of basketball operations, kind of a clean slate. But I think when you look at what the Hornets need with a roster that's getting younger and younger, you need a young, energetic coach, somebody like a Charles Lee who's been around a lot of championship organizations. He was with the Hawks when they were up and coming, obviously won a title with the Bucks, now in Boston, or even a guy like Chris Quinn, like Mike mentioned, with the Heat, part of that Heat culture we always talk about, even played there. I think those would be the two guys that I would look for, somebody that can just really relate to these players, because that's one of the big things that they need right now to establish a culture.
That is such an interesting point for me with where we are now in coaching, and I don't even think this is secular to the NBA, yeah, but like you see this in the NFL as well. Like, why do we need to bring in a guy that relates to these players who are new? Like, I look at Steve Clifford and I'm kind of sad to see him go. I think, yeah, Steve Clifford is a great coach and he's, yeah, been in the league for years, and you're telling me that he needs to earn the respect of these young guys in the league who haven't, like, done or proven anything. To me, that's just a wild dynamic. I might be alone in that, but it's crazy. But I guess, like, you got to move and adapt with the times. But yeah, I think somebody in here who's just going to understand or help implement culture, and that's going to be built around Brandon, yeah, Miller. Yeah. So whatever mixes well with him, I think, is the best way to go.
No, absolutely.
All right, well, we got plenty of baseball to talk about next. The Charlotte 49ers trying to earn a road series win this weekend against UTSA. We head to South Texas next.
Plus, meet the newest member of Charlotte FC, hoping to help their offense come to life here in 2024. We got much more CSL coming up in 2 minutes.
Charlotte baseball finishing up a four-game road trip today against the Roadrunners of UTSA. Rubber match, and it was a rough day from the rubber for Charlotte's Cameron Hansen. No outs and bases loaded. Hansen walks the first run of the game, and back-to-back walks with the bases loaded in the second would end his day after 1 1/3. We go to the top of the third. Thad Ector with an RBI ground out here. That'll get the Niners on the board, but UTSA would score 11 runs over the next three innings to end this one in the seventh for the second straight day. Charlotte falls 13-1. They return to the Hayes Tuesday against North Carolina A&T.
Then we had another rubber match in Nashville as Queens was taking on Lipscomb, and the Bison already with a 1-0 lead and possibly two, but check out this grab right here by my man Matthew Corlew, putting his body on the line and laying out there. We got to run that one back for you guys so you can just see him lay out for it. Check out the defense. A great play out there by my man Matthew Corlew. But how about some offense now? Top of the fifth inning. Will Butnick blasts that one out to right center field. It's over the wall. It is gone. That would get the Royals on the board, and that would tie the game at one. Lipscomb would play six in the sixth. The Royals, they got a little bit of work to do. Dylan Lewis having a great weekend in Nashville. This will be his third extra base hit of the weekend. The Bison would run on the Royals, ending this one in the eighth inning. The Royals fall by a final of 14-4. Queens back in action Tuesday against Highbury.
All right, and Truist Field will once again host the ACC Baseball Championships this year, but we will get our first taste of college baseball in Uptown this week. So even though the Knights are on the road, there will still be baseball in Uptown, as Tuesday night Truist Field will host its first of two college games this season as part of the ballpark's college baseball series. The first game coming up this Tuesday will feature South Carolina and North Carolina. Both of those programs currently ranked in the top 25 at 22 and 10, respectively. The second game will feature Charlotte and Clemson. That game will be a little later in the season on May 7th. The first pitch for Tuesday's tilt is set for 7 p.m. in Uptown.
And he's just a lovable dude that's got the biggest heart.
Up next, he's feeling the love from the Carolina sports world. How hosts, athletes, and coaches are giving back to Mark from Gastonia for the joy that he shared.
And with the NASCAR All-Star Race in North Wilkesboro quickly approaching, crews are working to patch up a cavern rumored to be an old moonshine cave. We're checking on the progress coming up next here on CSL. Back on CSL, repairs are underway at North Wilkesboro Speedway after the discovery of a cavern underneath the stands that was rumored to be an old moonshine cave. North Wilkesboro is set to host fans for NASCAR's All-Star Race Week, May 14th to the 19th, and the repairs are vital for the safety of everyone in attendance for the big racing event coming up in May. More than 600 stadium seats were removed to make room for construction workers as they began filling the large cavern with concrete just this afternoon.
We've really got to race to the race, right? We've got to make sure we get this seized back up and safe backed up for the fans to be able to come out, because these are great seats. This is one of the best spots to sit at for the race. We really had to repair, and that repair state is, A, first figure out, you know, is it just a hole? Is there something that's causing it to be? And we didn't find any sinkholes, as people call them, that you're familiar with seeing on the news.
All right, heading back to the pit, Charlotte FC officially introduced a huge addition to its roster this past week, Israeli international Leo Abada. This was a monster signing for the Crown, as the 22-year-old came with a nearly $8 million transfer fee. He comes from Celtic of the Scottish Premier League, where he helped the boys the Scottish Premier League, Scottish Cup, and Scottish League Cup titles. In 112 matches, he scored 29 goals with 22 assists.
Charlotte, it's really a good club, you know. The people are very nice, you know. I want to say first thank you to Charlotte, to the people in Charlotte, about the support. I got so many support and respect for them, and I need to bring him back on the pitch. In the last 2 years, I play in the right wing, but for me, I can play in the right, I can play left, sometimes striker, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what position I will play. I just want to bring for myself and work hard for the team and bring myself on the pitch, and this is the most important for me.
All right, hitting the links now, and you can add another past champion to this year's field for the Wells Fargo Championship. Max Homa has committed to the field. The winner of the 2019 and 2022 tournament in Quail Hollow now joins a star-studded list that includes Wyndham Clark, Ricky Fowler, and Rory McIlroy. Charlotte's Tour Stop is a signature event for the PGA, meaning it's going to be a 72-hole no-cut tournament. The action starts on May 6th.
All right, well, a local man who gained notoriety on Sports Talk Radio is facing major medical problems. WFNZ listeners call him Mark from Gastonia. The sports world has rallied around him after a dire diagnosis. And as Queen City News reporter John Lee reports, those messages often moved him to tears.
And WFNZ, it's the Mac and Bone Show. What a time to be alive, man.
Sports talk radio is a timeout from everyday problems.
When is the ACC going to call Virginia in for an apology?
Mac and Bone of WFNZ tackle more than runs, hits, and errors.
We're talking sports, but we're talking life. And
I know you're talking about something.
What are you talking about?
Basketball.
They've laughed out loud for two decades and have built a big circle of friends, their audience. Now the co-hosts circle the wagons for a frequent caller.
He lasted 53 years. So he is an underdog story in life that we have not seen around here. And he's just a lovable dude that's got the biggest heart.
You know, I wanted to make people happy. Just whatever I could do, put a smile on people's faces instead of wear them. And I just don't want to mess it up and something happen to it, you know.
WFNZ fans know him as Mark from Gastonia. He's been overwhelmed with gifts, including Charlotte Knights gear.
This is so exciting. I can't believe that I got a jersey like this.
MFG was hospitalized for 3 weeks. Because of a birth defect, his heart operates at 10 to 15%. On top of that, doctors diagnosed him with stage 4 stomach cancer. But Mark doesn't dwell on death.
If it happens, it happens. I lived a good life. I lived the way I want to live. Didn't nobody tell me how to do it. I did it my way.
His mom, Elizabeth, says Mark's always been a survivor.
He probably doesn't know this, but I had a funeral planned because they said he was not going to be able to handle any of this.
His radio family has responded.
We're trying to raise money for Mark and his bills and his family, so we're all on this journey together.
Travis Hancock, a.k.a. Bone, asked sports heroes to help uplift Mark with video messages.
This is Jonathan Stewart, former Carolina Panthers running back. Just want to let you know, man, a lot of people care about you.
If you were not calling in, you've got a lot of friends that care about you, stay after it each and every day. And again, this is Roy Williams from Chapel Hill saying hello to Mark from Gastonia. Thanks, big fella. Keep after it.
Smile every time I see it.
It's like, I want you to know those videos, don't wear yourself out, right? And then he goes, but they're keeping me alive, though. I'm like.
The support of WFNZ and sports figures from around the country has been a lifeline. Mark's whole life has been a battle. Because of his heart condition, doctors initially feared he would only live to be 6 months old. He eventually had open heart surgery at 5.
I just always wanted to be famous. I didn't care how.
Over the years, the hot sports takes and crazy costumes made Mark from Gastonia a sensation.
Mom never believed me, I don't think, really, that I was getting kind of popular.
We've just gone with all his shenanigans and, and put up with him.
I love to have fun. I'll be calling here about 8:05.
And just days after being discharged from the hospital, MFG called into the Mac and Bone Show.
No, there's no one else like you in this world. Like, you were radio gold.
What listeners could not see was just how much the show of appreciation meant to him.
Everything you did, man, it made people smile, made people laugh.
You never know which call might be the last.
Because it's been so long since I called, it just hit me hard.
We didn't know we'd ever have those moments again, and we don't know how many we're going to get. It's sad, but we're just trying to cherish them.
The legend himself, Mark from Gastonia.
But no matter where you're from, broadcasts have the power to bring people together.
If you have a connection to the audience, you can do some pretty magical things here. Hey, Mark, give us a Wolfpack howl on your way out.
Oh!
In Charlotte, John Lee, Queen City News.
Thanks, John Lee, for that story. And Mark from Gastonia, from all of us here at Charlotte Sports Live, we are thinking about you. Stay strong. And you can find out more about the effort to help pay for his medical bills. Just go to the story at qcnews.com. All right, well, how about those Charlotte Checkers? They have been on fire lately, winning again tonight, 4-1 over Hartford. Charlotte has won 6 of its last 7 games. They have 5 more games remaining before the Calder Cup playoffs begin. We just have 2 minutes left. Here, we'll give out our QC crowns next.
All right, one last order of business, and that's to hand out our QC crowns. Grace, you're going to start us off tonight. Who you got?
Well, I could have gone with the Yankees and given this to Giancarlo Stanton for hitting a grand slam, but it's not every day that you will see this Yankee fan give it to a Houston Astro. But I'm doing it tonight. Ronel Blanco, he's the Astros starter that threw a no-hitter in his last outing. And today he was working another no-hitter into the sixth, but it was broken up there by the Rangers' Adolis Garcia. But Blanco has only given up one hit in 15 innings this season. So that's 44 outs without allowing a hit. And it is the longest streak of any pitcher to begin a season since 1961. The prior record was 35 outs without allowing a hit, and that was done in 1998, 2020, and 2023. Austin Cox, the latest to do in 2020.
He's on a tear of the season. It might be the blonde mohawk you got back there. I like the hair there. But I got to run it back and give it to the Gamecocks for another unbelievable season after capping it off today. South Carolina completing the 10th undefeated season in women's Division I history after taking down Iowa this afternoon in the national title game. First time since UConn in 2016. And the team has run the table and won it all. SC is now in rare air as just the fifth program in the country to have three or more national championships. And Don Staley, truly one of one, is the only black head coach to lead a team to an undefeated season. So a whole lot to celebrate down there in Columbia as the Gamecocks have made history. We also have some big basketball news just breaking. John Calipari, Coach Cal, going to Arkansas. That's according to ESPN reports. Reportedly a five-year deal going from Kentucky across the SEC. What do you make of this real quick?
I thought it was fake.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we doing? And we live in a world now where John Calipari is going from Kentucky to Arkansas.
Yeah, it's going to shake things up in the SEC for sure. Well, for Grace Grill, I'm Gabe McDonald. We'll do this again tomorrow night, guys. Good night.